I know one of the most popular games right now is Guitar Hero and Rock Band, right? And because people get these games and we get to imitate rock stars and play these fancy riffs, or at least feel like we're playing these fancy riffs and licks, and bang out these these grooves. And they're popular because it really makes us feel like we're doing that. We're making the music make us feel like stars, and it sounds pretty good, right? Because it feels like we're doing something. And so we imitate the moves, the forms, and we got these guitar that we put the straps really, really low, and it's just like going at it, right? And banging on the drums, but the reality is most of us will never play like that, right? That's the reality. We get to imitate the superficial, the forms or the look. You can do your hair even to look like them, and you can wear their clothes, do their moves. But if I were to give you a real Les Paul and hook it up to my amp, you'll probably make some horrendous sound, right? And because it will sound terrible. Or if you're sitting there in a real drum set, it'll probably sound pretty bad, right? So, and besides, if you look at the real, like the guy that was playing, they don't play like that. Because that's not really, you can't really play instruments like that very well. So you're actually supposed to wear it short so that your neck, the guitar neck is up high so your hand can actually move. So, because if you look at the good musicians, they actually play like that. And they don't have these huge, crazy moves. They're just there, moving, So, because you can't really play like that. But anyways, we like to imitate them and play these games because it makes you feel like we're doing what they're doing. But the reality I think we need to get is still, there's a limit to the imitation, right? And the passage we're going to look at this morning is going to talk about how, in fact, God wants us to imitate Him. I mean, He's much greater than any of these musicians, but it's possible. But it's actually possible. If you think back on what we've been studying the past many months now since January, we've been looking through the book of Ephesians. And in there, we're reminded that the body of Christ, the church, we the people that belong to God, we are given this awesome blessing, all spiritual blessings in Christ. And in fact, God continues to pour out His power and His strength in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, what we're celebrating today. God is saying, see, I raised Jesus from the dead. I exerted great power. I infused great energy into Christ to raise Him from the dead. And I'm infusing that same kind of power and strength in you, because you are my people, because you are my child. And it's possible because He has taken us, He has chosen us. He said, I want you to belong to me. And you don't have to do any, you cannot do anything to earn it. You don't deserve it, but I'm just going to give it to you for free because I love you. Now you are His precious child. You belong to His kingdom. And because of that, He wants to give you all these power and privileges. So you are the VIP, the very important person in His eye. Right? I've been going back to Taiwan just twice in these past few months, and I have discovered how much I hate flying. It's really not fun. And so those of you that travel a lot, I have sympathy for you. But sitting in this cramped seat, feel like sardines, and people tend to get larger nowadays. So it's the seats are pretty small, and people are bumping, elbowing you. And I'm horrible. I'm a very light sleeper, so I can never sleep on those flights. But if you're flying first class, you get your own lounge before you even board, and they serve hors d'oeuvres and drinks. It's a very nice place. And when you get on the seat, you're served meals on real plates with real utensils, and when it's time to sleep, your seat converts into a bed, and you actually get to lie down. So I thought, wow, that's awesome. See, in God's kingdom, that's who you are to Him, right? Because He has given you all these privileges. But now the thing is, I'm not sure we really recognize that, or we fully experience that, because we don't. Sometimes I think we just don't grasp what kind of blessings God has given us. But I think if we're able to grasp that, we'll be able to fully enjoy who we are as the children of God. And that's why Paul spent the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians telling us who we really are in Christ. And then spending the next three chapters and how then can we live out this life of privilege, this life of strength, this life of power. And today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. So let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. As we continue to look at how is it that God intends us to live out this tremendous blessings and strength He has given us. So Ephesians chapter 5, let's read this together. Why don't we all stand and read this together? Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read from 1 to 7. 1 to 7, okay? Let's read it out loud together. Verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Please have a seat. See, verses 1 to 2 is telling us to be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Even though we're looking at the new chapter, chapter 5, it's these two verses are beginning of the new chapter, but in fact, it actually belongs to the previous section. Paul, in conclusion, after describing to us in chapter 4 how we are the children of God and how we can live as children of light, this is a conclusion, actually, saying, therefore, be imitators of God. And verse 1 and 2 says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice." As you probably learned in Bible study class, when you see the word therefore, it often indicates a transition to a new section. But in this case, it's actually a little bit different. It's actually a conclusion of a previous section. And so the immediate context is actually chapter 4, verse 32, and then chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. So that's kind of like the concluding paragraph of the previous section in chapter 4. So let me read those three verses together in context, and let's try to wrap our thinking around that. Okay, so chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." So this mention of how to do forgiveness in Christ, just as Christ has done, right? So and then "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ," Christ's role again, "just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So what it's saying is be imitators of God in these two ways. In after he's describing to us what it is like to live as the children of life, a light, and live as God's dearly loved children. In conclusion, it says live, therefore, to imitate God in forgiveness and in love. Right? See, I think many of us want to be able to play guitar like John Mayer or John Scofield, or play drums like Carter Buford from Dave Matthews Band. But as a child of God, first and foremost, we are to be imitators of God, right? Imitators of God. And in fact, we can all be imitators of God, but not all of us can play like John Mayer. Okay? And see, this may sound counterintuitive, but it's absolutely true, because we're not all gifted musicians. I mean, some of us, we can try as hard as we can. We just can't get there. And like for me, I'm horrible at the visual arts. You know, if you ask me to paint or draw, I just stick figures is the best I can do. And you have seen, you know, and you have seen that before. We're not all gifted artists or sculptors like Michelangelo, right? We're not all be able to dunk a basketball like these NBA stars. We just can't. You know, genetically, it's impossible as Asians most of the time. Okay, so, but we can all be like Christ. We can all be like Christ. We can all grow in our likeness of Christ, and we can all imitate God the Father. In fact, it's commanded to us. See, we have physical limitations. We have IQ limitations, right? There's not a whole lot we can do about that. But we can all grow spiritually to be like Christ. And in fact, that's why God never commanded all of us to get A's. You know, there's no command in the Bible that says, you shall get A's. There isn't something like that. God did not command all of us to be billionaires or all to run 4-minute miles. Right? There are some people that can, but not everybody, right? But God unmistakably commanded us to imitate God here in Ephesians 5. And this is not the only place. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, be imitators of Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? It tells us to be imitators of Christ. And 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy as God is holy. Right? These are very clear commands. And God is commanding us because He knows that that's something He has prepared for us to do. And I know that the idea is that we can all be imitators of God is counterintuitive, because we feel like this is impossible. God is holy and absolutely righteous. How can we be like Him? God is absolutely loving. We can never be like that. But maybe there's a slight chance that we can dunk like Dwight Howard. You know, maybe there's a slight chance. But how can we be like God? But I think that's why Paul spent the first 3 chapters describing to us, saying, you're right. It is impossible. You cannot be like God, because none of us is holy. None of us is perfect. But God has chosen us as His children. And God has infused in us the same kind of power that He infused in Christ as he raised Christ from the dead. It's impossible. That's why it's the work of God that empowers us to be like Him. That's why Paul spent those 3 chapters describing the theological truth first, so that we, our thinking and our feeling and our thoughts are established on that theological truth. And that's why Paul is also able to write in 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Right? All this has gone, the new has come. He's able to do that because God has done the work. And God loves us, you know, loves to be able to teach this kind of truth, these kind of deep spiritual truths to us, oftentimes through the lives of those we often consider as weak and powerless. One of my favorite stories is that one of the teachers in my parents' school, it's a school for adults with learning disabilities, and they all have below average IQ. And that's just reality. That's their physical limitation. But one of the stories that love to tell is how one time this student, because their washing machine was broken, and this student is very, very kind and thoughtful, because they lived in kind of a small home-like communities, and the washing machine is broken, and so the student thought, my poor teacher, the washing machine is broken, and I don't know how to do laundry, so the teacher will have to wash all my laundry. That's a lot of work. So he thought about it, so he prayed for the washing machine. He literally put his hands on the washing machine and prayed, and the washing machine worked, and so they're able to do laundry again. And then the teacher told me another story where they were driving out, and the car broke down. Right? They didn't know what to do. And the student just got out and pray for the car. I mean, literally come out and just put your hand on the hood, right? And pray for the car. And this student, whom most of the world think of as worthless, as of no economic value, yet is able to teach us about hearing God, feeling God move, and be able to have the faith and boldness to pray for a machine, right? I mean, how many of us would ever think of praying for machines? But you know, there is absolutely no limitation in how we can grow to be like God in our spirit. I mean, we might have limitation in our physical abilities and our IQ and our talents, but there is, all of us can be imitators of God. And that's the reality. And the context explicitly tells us to imitate God in two areas. And one is to, let me read that again. In 4:32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." That's the first one, right? So be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul is telling us God wants us to imitate him in two ways. One is to forgive. How God forgives us, that's how we're to forgive others. And secondly, to love. How God loves us, we are to love others. And these are two topics that we talked about a lot in the church. I don't think there's anything that we really need more that we need to know about these topics. But I think we need to realize that God has enabled us to do it, even in times when we feel like we can't. And we can go back to him and ask him to give us the power that he has promised us and say, "Yes, God, I want to obey you. I want to experience what it's like to be able to forgive and to be able to love." You know, maybe we can imagine it a little bit, just like, you know, the song and the dance. But be able to imagine what God wants us to experience in terms of forgiveness and love right now. You know, maybe you say something really stupid to your mom. But instead of the mom yelling back at you, maybe she'll be able to look at you and with understanding and say, "You know, I understand how frustrated you are about whatever you're going through. And I'm not mad at you, and I want to walk with you. I want to help you through this process. I want to understand how you're feeling." You know, that would be very powerful, right? Or, and imagine a church, a fellowship. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to and go to a church or be part of a community that is filled with forgiveness and love? And God is saying, that's who I made you to be as a body, as my people, as my children. You know, the reality is that we're not all going to be able to be like Bill Gates, be multi-billionaires. We can't all influence the culture like Oprah Winfrey, right? And we can't all be evangelists like Billy Graham, and we can't all play guitar like John Mayer. That's just not possible. But we can all imitate God. We can all imitate God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again says, "If anyone is in Christ," and that's what we're seeing today, right, in the baptism. "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation." Our old, when we were baptized, we're proclaiming that we're taking on the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection, and this new life. And the old has gone, the new has come. So today we get to celebrate three brothers who publicly profess their faith in Christ. And when they submerge underwater, they die with Christ. They're saying, my old self, I die with Christ. They're saying that to the whole world. And when they come out of the water, they're saying, "I have this new life just like my Lord Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead." And this new life in Christ made it possible for them and for all of us to be imitators of God. And there's more to this passage about behavior, like foolish talk and so forth. We're not going to focus on that today, because the reality is, if we understand and if we feel and experience that infusion of power and privilege in us, this new life would naturally come out. Right? It would naturally come out. The change of behavior would naturally come out. I'm going to right now ask you to take out your bulletin. We're going to do something special this morning. I think that will help us to celebrate this Easter season in a more meaningful and significant way. And we can also join our brothers, three brothers who were baptized today. The most significant thing we want to grasp today is the resurrection of Christ, the reality of the risen, our risen Lord. Right? And if you turn your bulletin to the inside flap there on the right hand side, there's this, you'll see this thing called the renewal of baptism vow. And I think it's fitting today for us to come before God and say, I recognize your resurrection. And I want to continue and my walk with you. And I want to renew my love covenant with you. Just as the three brothers today who publicly declare their love and allegiance to God, we can all renew our love covenant with Christ as well. So for all of us who have been baptized in the past, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And that's recommit ourselves and renew our baptism vow with Christ. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to respond with conviction and boldness, okay? The bold prints. And that's all recommit ourselves to Christ again this morning, recognizing our new life in Him. Okay? So do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil and renew your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father? Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. He is conceived of the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand under the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers?
I will.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you seek and serve Christ and all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let's pray. May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sins, keep us in eternal life by His grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.